Come ye, let us go up to the mount of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. As we continue our worship service, may we read responsively selection number 2, Christian Fellowship. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring.
Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits.
Recompense.
If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Beloved, God so loved us.
May we pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence at this hour, look, we pray thee, upon those who are lonely, who are companionless, who are without hope, who live in exile from all the things that they would have in life for which they long. Help us this day and throughout these years of our lives to be a source of companionship, to provide affection, love, to be a source of kindness to those whose hearts so seek love and affection and companionship. Help us truly to be thy instruments as we are privileged to move about among men. As we think of ourselves, as we progress from day to day toward noble goals, may our lives be so centered about thee. May they be so dedicated to our high calling. May we be so propelled by the grandness of the service that is ours in thee, that it will be most unlikely that unsightly elements will mar our countenances, that sin will enter into our lives in an undue fashion from day to day. And help, as we pursue such callings, that others will so naturally see Christ and God in us that we will be a source of inspiration to those with whom we come in contact. But most of all, help it to be said of each of us that ours is a forgiving spirit, and that we continuously look with kindness one upon the other. May we continuously extend helping hands one to the other as we endeavor to live the Christian life from day to day. Be with us as we move on toward the end of this another school year. Help us to experience thrills of accomplishment beyond those that we've experienced before. And help us to close out this year deeply appreciative for the opportunities that have been ours, and with the feeling that we have done the best with the opportunities that are ours. Be with President Binkley, the professors, those that participate in this seminary community. Help us from day to day as we endeavor to accomplish and carry out thy will. Be with our guest this day. Help him to speak to us in a fashion that will draw us closer to thee. These things we ask in thy name for Christ's sake. Amen. We are privileged to have as our guest this morning the minister of Shaw University. The Reverend James Alexander is a native of North Carolina, a graduate of Shaw University. He earned degrees, the STM degree, as his last degree at Andover Newton Theological Seminary. And after his graduation from this seminary, spent a year in study in Switzerland, after which time he returned to the pastorate in North Carolina and now is in service in our neighboring institution, Shaw University. Mr. Alexander, we hear you attentively and appreciate your coming this morning.
To Dr. Sandusky, members of the faculty, staff, and student body of Southeastern Seminary, I'm honored by this opportunity to share these rare moments with you. I'm honored above all that Christ has thought so much of us as to give us a share in his ministry. And therefore, it behooves or each of us should be compelled by that fact to magnify our ministries. Let us hear the word of God afresh as it comes to us out of the New English Translation of the Scriptures. Words of the Apostle Paul recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. For the love of Christ leaves us no choice. When once we have reached the conclusion that one man died for all, and therefore all mankind has died. His purpose in dying for all was that men, while still in life, should cease to live for themselves and should live for him who for their sake died and was raised to life. With us, therefore, worldly standards have ceased to count in our estimate of any man, even if once they counted in our understanding of Christ. They do so now no longer. When anyone is united to Christ, there is a new world. The old order has gone, and a new order has already begun. From first to last, this has been the work of God. He has reconciled us men to himself through Christ, and he has enlisted us in the service of reconciliation. What I mean is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer holding men's misdeeds against them, and that he has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. We come, therefore, as Christ's ambassadors. It is as if God was appealing to you through us. In Christ's name, we beseech ye, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. One of the most tragic facts of our modern world is our separation from God. And perhaps the most desperate cry coming from beneath the facade of prosperity and peace is the desire to be reconciled with God. The modern age is somewhat like Dante was as he opens the Divine Comedy. Midway this life which we are bound upon, I woke to find myself in a dark wood where the right road was wholly lost and gone. And Dr. Samuel Miller, in his book, The Life of the Church, calls to our attention this tragedy of separation from God that characterizes our modern life. We are separated from God, he says. Some do not know it as yet. Others know it and are proud of it. Others know it and feel the intolerable burden of isolation and loneliness and bear its intolerable burden. We are separated from God. This is the most tragic fact of the modern world. Paul Tillich suggests in his book, A Theology of Culture, that we should seek to Christianly educate our children in order that they might ask the questions to which Christ is the answer. But the Bible certainly for us asks the right questions, describes our situation of alienation. Return for just a moment to the Genesis account of Adam and Eve. After they had disobeyed God, after they had overstepped their bounds, God's penalty for this disobedience was expulsion from paradisal innocence, separation from God, almost as it were, now take care of yourselves. And in this situation of separation from God, isolation from him, man lifts his hands against his brother. And Cain takes his brother Abel into the field and lifts his hands against him and slays him. In separation from God, man seeks to make a name for himself. He builds the Tower of Babel and his tongues become confused. In separation from God, evil runs rampant in the land, and God himself almost repents that he had created man. In separation from God, listen to the Bible. We too raise our hands against our brothers. We too, surrounded by enormous development of physical natural resources, somehow know what it means to not understand one another. The Soviet Union and the United States, Red China and Russia, Vietnam, North and South Vietnam. There is a confusion of tongues that bespeak our separation from God. Selma, Alabama, Birmingham, Raleigh, Wake Forest. Separation is in evidence everywhere. It has invaded every sphere of our existence, in our homes, broken lives. It's in our schools, in our communities, it's in our world. Everywhere there is separation, there is a desperate cry that we as ministers of God should hear. Men do need to be reconciled. And Paul addresses this word, be ye reconciled to God. He structures our basis for proclaiming this message, that through Christ, God has reconciled us men to himself. And he says in another instance that he has broken down the dividing wall of hostility and has created one new man in place of two. And this was brought to me poignantly when for a time I lived in the YMCA in Brooklyn. And my first Saturday there, I walked down the hall to go to the shower room, and I was met by an imposing man of about 250 pounds. And I spoke to him. I just said, how do you do? And he looked at me and said, what do you mean? How do you do? And I wasn't about to raise any issues with him. I think more from his size than anything else. So I went on to the shower room. And when I came out of the shower, he was still on the hallway. But I didn't stop. I accelerated my pace a bit and went into my room. And he stood for at least 5 minutes outside of my room cursing and swearing and told me, don't you come out here. You'd better not come out here. He really didn't have that to worry about. I wasn't about to come out there. At any rate, on another occasion, I was in the shower and I observed that someone was in the shower next to me. And I didn't know who it was, but I do know that sometimes when one shower is on and another is turned on, that the other will run hot, and sometimes it's very unpleasant to the person who's in the other shower. So I reminded the person, I says, I'm getting ready to turn on the shower, and a voice boomed at me, what difference does that make to me? It was this same fellow. I said, sir, I don't know what difference it makes to you. I says, but sometimes showers run hot when another shower is turned on, and it might make some slight difference if this is so in your case. And he says, oh, I see. But it had a tragic ending. One Monday evening, I came in to pay my bill, and he was there talking to the desk clerk, pointing in his face, and said, as long as I have been here, I haven't even asked you your name. I don't even want to know what your name is. And the fellow stood there very astounded by it. Could say nothing. Well, ultimately, they had to send him away because it was impossible for some reason. Perhaps it had come from rejection. I don't know. But he could not relate to his fellow man. There was a separation from them. And perhaps the source of all of our hostility is our separation from God. Paul says, in Christ, in his cross, God brings the hostility to an end. And he brings our disparate and separated lives, the dissonance of our lives, into a single whole, which is salvation. In the cross, God does this, brings our hostility to an end, and creates one new man in place of two. And from beginning to end, Paul says, this has been the work of God. How our people need to hear that message. God has acted in Christ to overcome our separation from him, to establish us once again in the right relationship to him. And from that right relationship, to reconcile us men to one another. This is what God has done in Christ. And this ministry of reconciliation he has given to you and me. This same ministry. Often we fight against fellowship. We should fight for it. Men live quiet, desperate lives. Perhaps some of the students are living lives of quiet desperation and isolation. Ours is, through Christ, to bring the message of reconciliation that will bring men out of their isolation into fellowship with God and with one another. It is in his cross. Be reconciled. Story is told of two men who came to the altar. It was in a Methodist church, but that doesn't make any difference. They came to the altar rail to pray. And they were there in moments of silence. And as each finished, for the first time, they looked into each other's face. One was a man who had been condemned as a criminal and sentenced to prison. The other was the judge who sent him there. And at the altar, at the foot of the cross, these distinctions were wiped out. Here, there cannot be Gentile or Jew, slave man or free. White or black, but Christ, all, and in all, and he has entrusted to us, you and me, the ministry. Reconciliation. We might beseech men in his stead to be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Our God, we bear before thee the brokenness of our own lives, and our fits of rage and hostility, and in our own inability or unwillingness to love our neighbors as ourselves. We come to thee just as we are, without one plea. Pray thee that through the inspiration of thy precious Holy Spirit, thou might purge our hearts, cleanse our thoughts, and ready us for thy service. That we might be through Christ true ambassadors of reconciliation, that we might proclaim with great boldness the Christ for the healing of our individual lives, our homes, our schools, our communities, and for the nations. In the Spirit of Christ, we pray. Amen.